Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Owen and Baru's Barbecue. Today, we're cooking up something really special that only four chefs could actually pull it together and make. They're called ration bars.
Oh.
It's the bottom of the barrel here, but we have four chefs in the house tonight. Myself, as always, I'm here, joined with Nick. But today, who we got? You can introduce yourselves.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you had like a.
I'm the guy who named the podcast.
I thought you were going to go with the Ordor Moondragon for sure. Something a little more exotic.
I almost just dropped an F bomb, but then I realized what show I was on.
Yeah. Well,
can I just say that? Boston's influence on the show is so poor and he shows up so little on the show that all he can resort to is like, well, I named it.
I got the email address.
Let's just say this is the third episode of The Bad Batch and Chris and Jay are tied with appearances on the show.
There's about as important to The Bad Batch as Echo and Tech. So.
Oh, nice. Nice. I'm not going to belabor it. Obviously, you know, this is my first episode of The Bad Batch. I'm on with you guys, but I'll just do a quick fast forward with you guys. I know because we're on The Replacements is the most recent episode that we've.
Yeah, so spoilers for all Bad Batch, basically, if you're listening to this.
I mean, I'll give you a quick rundown. The first episode, the pilot episode, the hour-long one, I thought was fantastic. I loved it. Anyway, I'm just happy to be back into that world. The second episode, what was
even though Kanan's in it, and you hate Kanan,
he was a bitch when he was a kid. So, what was the second episode's name? I forgot what it was called. It was that memorable. The episode two, I was just like, dude, I literally fell asleep watching, and I had to go back and rewatch it again.
Counterpoint: I love two because it joined that deserter family. I can't remember their names. And it showed why it was so difficult for the Jedi to,
his name
to
was Cut.
You know, go around because they had to have access codes or whatever. So I thought it was a good episode.
Okay. And then this last episode here. So here we are with The Replacements.
Doesn't relate to the band.
Nor the Keanu Reeves movie.
That's what I was thinking.
I love that movie, by the
way.
It's fantastic.
Better than this episode?
Way better than this episode. Yeah,
okay.
Yes,
best $5 bargain bin Blu-ray you'll ever find.
It definitely. I mean, you can just stream it. So I feel better about this episode than I did episode two. It's still. I feel like I'm kind of going through the whole motions of like, you know, when I first watched Clone Wars and when I watched Rebels or the first season, the first few episodes of the series, I was just like. Oh, come on. Let's move along. But
come on, Tick. Cheer up.
Yeah, dude, I'll tell you, the weird South African accents kind of flip, like, New Zealand accent. Kind of throwing me off.
Well, it's more in the here. You gotta tighten up your tongue a little bit as you talk.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Welcome back anytime, Jay.
I'll tell you, like this episode, it started to get a little bit better for me about halfway through, and then I kind of see some of the themes that are coming along with you know, you kind of like the switching reverse roles of Omega and I said Omega.
She says it's Omega. I believe it's Omega.
Omega and of course Crosshair kind of like almost like doing like a role reversal on the two.
Yeah, your place now and you're in my place now kind of thing.
Which I thought was pretty cool. Did we lose Nick?
He's coming back. So
yeah, don't worry, he'll be
he's
back.
Frosty the Snowman.
It's getting to be a little bit We're starting to figure out why the hell is Omega even in the story, and I have a crazy crackpot theory about why I think that is. And we'll get to that later, but I just wanted to kind of get your bracket to speed. Here I am, I'm live. I'm with you guys on the most recent episode, and I'm in the kitchen at the barbecue right now. So
tear off that fat from that meat, man.
Yeah,
get in there. You know, just get that gristle. You know, tell me how you don't like the dragon. So
the dragon was cool,
but I'm throwing out the dragon as just fun.
It did very Empire Strikes Back.
Somewhat, yeah, because it's in a moon. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, they like craters. And they, the dragon, and they're all blah blah blah.
It also lives off of energy. It does, like Minox. So
kind of. But then it didn't like eat it. It just kind of wanted to have it there, just to keep it company.
It's like a dog.
Yeah, it's like collecting energy.
Precious. It kind of was a little like preciousy.
Yeah, like I know you guys haven't listened to the first episodes, but like. Matt and I's worry with this series was that so far, is it kind of mirroring a little bit too much of The Mandalorian, and that you have Hunter as kind of like the Mandalorian type figure, and you have Omega being very much Baby Yoda / Grogu of like, you know, and that's why we've kind of been against her having possible force powers and more being a combination of all of the enhancements that the first four have. Because like even in this episode, that was the only issue I had with this episode was that it felt a little bit like the spiders episode of season two of Mandalorian. And that, oh, look, they crash landed on a planet and now they have to go look for something. But there's this one creature versus multiple spiders. But like it's like these things and then, you know, they have to escape it. Like, I was like, OK, this kind of feels a little bit like that episode.
It also reminded me of that Brady Bunch episode where Bobby Brady was the only one that could fit through the the opening. You know, it's like. No, I didn't.
Did you just bring in the Brady Bunch? Are you trying to get Jack to listen?
Jack was here, he would have perked up. At that
I'm going for the Jack demographic here. Yeah.
Matt, you're great. That's a great idea, Matt.
But the problem is the Jack demographic doesn't listen to this.
That's very valid.
Maybe like 5%.
Anyways, I realize that now.
I was going to say that I actually kind of like the pacing a little bit because it's taken its time. It's 16 episodes, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. So it's 16 episodes. It's got a long time to tell the story this season, wherever they want to go by the end of this season. So I think it's having the context that this isn't an 8-episode arc where you might say, okay, we only have 8 episodes and by 3 we're still not really are we going? I know Dave Filoni's comfortable with exploring a space, taking the time to develop the characters and get you to be really bought into them. And to me, this was a really nice, you know, character arc for both Hunter, for Omega, for Wrecker, for Crosshair, on so many levels, right? So to me, and you're right, Echo is not really getting much to do.
I like Echo. I mean, he's got bionic hand. I mean, like,
Domino Squad, right? Is it Domino Squad?
Yeah, he's Domino Squad,
So,
I mean, he couldn't even hack the computer correctly in that episode 1 or 2. It took him forever.
He's going to have his moment.
He is. Echo, that's what I'm saying. It's 16 episodes.
Yeah.
So, to me, the development of the characters in it, there was a lot of character development in this one. I thought by the end that she had her own place to sleep. I thought it was so sweet. I thought that was really nice. And
also, the stuffed animal thing was cute.
And then it was this episode, right? The Crosshair goes and kills.
We see
that was intense. That was
badass. So that was probably the best part when he was just like, "Good soldiers, listen to orders." And then
and it kills the dude that thinks he's going to be a big guy in the new empire.
Well, what was interesting about that too is there's kind of an interesting parallel there of tyrannous leaders and so forth and so on, and how he was like, what was that?
Nothing. Yeah, you go ahead.
You're pulling a jack.
There was an inside joke there between two people. I was not included either.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know.
Are you listening at home without watching us? Matt just did something stupid.
No, he didn't. Matt's fine. Leave him alone.
Go ahead and do your story.
If you think about like the idea, like because the guy who got killed, who I don't know, they gave him a name or whatever, but from that squadron, the guy who disobeyed the order. He was earlier in the episode saying,
you're talking about
his disappointment with the Republic for not really treating him well, and this and the other, and then the Empire is giving more than the Republic ever did, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like that's a cool little like dynamic of like how pretty much every, you know, emperor or anybody who's taking over a different mm-hmm. land or whatever, kind of that dynamic was actually kind of cool. But he ends up being the first guy killed.
Yeah.
So interesting, right?
Go ahead. To your point, Chris, like, and I think that's, you know, also to Jay's point here is that there's I was pointing at Nick because Nick and I usually are the ones talking.
Oh, right.
That's all. It was just, you know, innocent little, like, you know, Nick and I.
I want to hear Nick and Matt's impressions here and thoughts.
Okay. So to both of your points, like, we're getting a slower paced out, like, show. Yes. And we're getting all of this empire information, which yes. I think is really cool. Like, we're getting all yeah. the world building. And with each episode, we're getting a lot more information than we did, I would say, in the first several episodes of Clone Wars or Rebels, like mm-hmm. where we're actually seeing kind of like the transitioning occurring. Yes. And it's, and so I'm enjoying that even, oh, and we're not getting these stupid commercial break act, you know, jumps, you know, when you go back and you rewatch Rebels or you rewatch yeah, Clone Wars,
you can still skip the intro though. That whole 2 seconds.
Yeah. Of the masks, I liked the fact that they did the animated masks. Mm-hmm, you know, yeah. You know, as far as when they've done the Lego as well, they do yeah, they it with do Lego heads, and it's mm-hmm. kind of fun. So they did that with the Lego Star Wars.
I love it. I love the they're showing the birth of the Empire, and they're showing. Like how it actually became the Empire as we know it in A New Hope and mm-hmm. the original trilogy. And
specifically, the end of Clones and beginning of Conscripted
yeah.
Forces, which I think is actually very, very cool. Mm-hmm. But
do you guys think the Conscripted Forces
are crap?
Well, I know, right? It's like, why are they such bad shots? I was like, oh, yeah.
Crosshair is their goddamn teacher. Like, how come they can't hit a broadside of a barn? It baffles me.
Well, because eventually Crosshair is dead, and all they got left are just some stupid conscripted yeah. soldiers.
Well, are they going to clone Crosshair? You know, and use
genetic material is the.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right? It's so they got a new host.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just his. You kind of see the early formation of the Death Troopers, mm-hmm. you know, like they're yeah. wearing that Death Trooper armor.
That's something I wanted to get to for sure.
But what about Nick? We haven't heard from.
Oh yeah, Nick. How about Nick?
Oh, do I get to speak on this podcast? Cool.
No.
Well, my stuff was not really related to what you guys are talking about. So it was
Shit.
Well, it's
thinking about, I'm so used to RCAD.
Yeah. So in the last episode, I proposed a theory of where I think the show is going in season one. And this episode kind of put another nugget towards of where I think it's going. And that mm-hmm. I think the season finale will be the battle of Kamino, you know, yeah. And I had proposed to Matt that, you know, in the last episode,
I said,
I love you. He said, I know. And I slapped him.
I wish you guys were here for that.
Yeah. You know, like, because you saw, you know, Omega take off her little head thing mm-hmm. in the last episode. And I thought it could be a red herring, could just be a clue, could be nothing. But, like, in my brain, I thought that's got to be some kind of device to where when she puts it into a machine in Kamino, it's going mm-hmm. to disable all of the chips at one time, you know, and or something like that, because like how else
master kill switch,
like a master kill switch, yeah, kind of thing, because I think that's what's going to happen. And you saw even with this episode in that how the as soon as Tarkin and that other guy were talking about, oh, you know, this is going to be, you know, we're going to get rid of the clones, and he walks out of the room because he knows they're going to be obsolete soon, and that's why they're proposing, you know, this super clone. But mm-hmm. what if the super clone goes wrong, or what if the Empire reads mm-hmm. into this wrong and says, oh, they're building another clone to defeat our people, let's attack. And yeah. then, you know, and then at that same time, that same episode, the Bad Batch comes back, they disable the clones, you know, and then mm-hmm. the clones defend their home against this mm-hmm. new Imperial cool armor.
A clone army cool. with, you know, the Empire, you know, and kind of this final battle on Kamino. That would be
Or Omega is the super clone.
she could be.
Well, they said they had I have a theory about this. Can I share?
Sure. Yeah. We're all over the place. We're not doing any kind of recap here. So
the Django material is deteriorating. Thanks, Mace. And they need a new thing. I think maybe this is overkill. It's probably too much, but I think they're going to try and get Boba Fett to be like, hey, Boba, you want to stop by? We need some new genetic material.
Could be.
Because I loved in Clone Wars seeing the young Boba Fett, and it would be cool to get a little more young Boba Fett.
So my theory was based upon Omega, her name.
Omega.
The last letter in the alphabet, the Greek alphabet. The
Greek alphabet.
Could be the last good clone. Could also be the first clone that the Emperor was messing with the Force.
I don't want to see him diddling little kids. That's
I didn't say that.
Clearly she's Force sensitive.
She's the last of the clones. I'm drawing that conclusion based upon the fact that her name is Omega, which is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. But what if they're messing with the Force as an experiment from Emperor Palpatine, and this could be like the last of the clones utilizing the Force as well. Could also be the first of his special project of these special troopers that are all.
And clearly the Kaminoans are, because in Mandalorian, the dude has a Kaminoan symbol on his. So
and you can tell the main Kaminoan, I don't know what his name is. I don't know if I care. But like he's got like an ace up his sleeve. He knows what's going on. Like that's why he sent her off to do her thing.
Oh, he's always been so cool.
He's four steps ahead of everybody else.
He's got the Mohawk.
He's got the sickest Kaminoan hair I've ever seen.
The Emperor. I don't know. We have to be ahead of the game on this one.
Isn't Jack 14? Isn't that Lego?
Yeah, it is. But like I was curious, but it is still a part of Star Wars. So that's why I wrote is Jack 14 canon, because Jack 14 is also a clone, but it is part of the Disney era. So I was like, I wonder if he is. But it's a clone that has Force sensitive powers.
Anything with Lego, they kind of just. They're like its own. It's almost like its own side universe. It's like that's Lego universe. You know, that's how I see it. Like it doesn't really, you know. One other thing we might see, although I think they're going to keep Grogu pretty close to the vest. But could we see a Grogu cameo? You know, at some point. Like
I don't think this season.
Not this season.
I don't know. I mean, we might not at all. Because I doubt we'll get Kanan back, because Chris already wrote a letter saying, I don't want to see Kanan anymore.
I don't want to see
Kanan. Get that little son of a bitch off my screen.
Well, you know, he goes off and like, you know, hooks up a smuggler.
Has a good cry.
I've been thinking about it for a while. Probably too much. I'm trying to source Skypec's hate of Kanan. And
it's too big for this podcast, isn't it?
It is too big. I think it traces back to 90s Boston when I had a huge crush on Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah,
I see where you're going. Yes. Yes.
And you know, he had the posters and everything. Mm-hmm. And then she starts to date Freddie Prinze Jr. And that is when the hatred began.
Honestly, I think my distaste for the character is because I read A New Dawn before I watched Rebels, and I think Kanan Jarrus's character in A New Dawn is way cooler, and like I got way into that story, but then seeing him on Rebels, so I don't know which came first, Rebels or A New Dawn, the book.
Same time.
Okay. So well, I think they handled his character in the book so much better than I think they did in the show.
The cover of that book is kind of odd too, because it shows Hera, it shows Kanan, and they look nothing like kind of like what they actually end up looking in the cartoon. But
I
read that book too, and I liked that book, and maybe it's because I had already seen the show, so I was kind of putting that framework of what I knew as Kanan onto that book or that character as I read.
And I was the reverse, right?
And so you were the reverse, so you kind of had your own idea.
Jar Jar Jarrus.
It's not how he talks. Kanan wouldn't say that.
What year did Rebels come out?
Go ahead.
What year did Rebels come out?
I
2015.
I remember it. I was probably walking around with Colleen on the Comic-Con floor, but like it was before Rebels had come out, but they were doing an early release of the book at Comic-Con only, and so I have that version of it. I'm sure Colleen has the copy of it too, because she always gets every book I get.
Can I just tell you the stupid piles of books that are around our house? Like, she has duffel bags of stupid Comic-Con books. We won't make it this far in the editing of the show. But, Jesus, I mean, you need to stop. I'm not going to thank God there was a pandemic, but thank goodness Comic-Con was canceled.
So Jay was just criticizing the amount of stupid stuff that his wife has collected.
As what's behind him.
He doesn't even read it. I appreciate this stuff.
I love the irony.
I think I see 4.2 Stave Puff Marshmallow Men in your vicinity. You're giving your wife
only one. There's that one right there. And here's the
one
thing.
In his catalog.
Books are stupid. Toys are cool.
No. Listen.
I read my imagination.
I will never criticize someone for collecting things, but she doesn't even read them. She just goes around and gets the books.
That's fair.
And then we have to drag them to the airport. She brings duffel bags, and I have to carry them in the airport.
You're a good husband for that.
And she never reads them. They're still in the duffel bags from 2 years ago.
It's like maybe this is like a psychological game she plays with you to just carry stuff for her. She's like, I'm never gonna read this, but watch this.
I married a gentleman.
Colleen, please make sure you listen to at least the 22-minute
mark. Oh, I already put the commercial break at the mark where he started talking. No, that's pretty good stuff, though. I'm the same way with books sometimes. I kind of buy, and it's a while until I get around to like looking at that book. And then when I look at it, you know, whether or not I read it.
This book has been sitting under my monitor for like.
I forgot I had that. I need to read it too.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to it. I did. I just bought it to like support Ernest Cline because I think that's a good thing to do.
He needs the support.
I know, but I just did. I didn't. I haven't read it. I've only listened to it. It's like the new Das Boot. It's just sitting here collecting dust.
Now, I recently picked up a Star Wars book on May the 4th. You know, they had like these deals or whatever, and they had a digital book.
You nerd.
Yeah. They had a digital book, a High Republic book, and it was called Into the Dark, I think it's called. It's by Claudia Gray. And I like her as an author. Mm-hmm. So I picked up the digital copy for $1. And I quickly learned that I have to have a physical book. I mean, unless I'm like trapped somewhere and I just have my phone, but then I end up scrolling and doing social media stuff. I have to have a physical book.
I used to be that way, but I haven't traveled in a while. But when I used to travel a lot for work or just for personal, you know, travel, having a Kindle with like the backlit screen, it's so simple. It's very simple, but it's just so much easier.
Awesome.
It's so.
I love the Kindle Paperwhite. I think it's the nicest looking like e-reader display ever made.
Agreed, 100%. I think it just in that there's certain contexts where I agree with you, Matt. Like having the tactile experience is great, but
it breaks me out of my phone. I think that's the thing is when I had it on my phone because I just put it on my phone as
phone screen is not going to cut. You have to have like to. Chris's point, like that type of that
e-reader
paper screen thing.
Yeah, you don't get email on it. You know, you're just kind of
but it actually kind of it doesn't have the backlit. Again,
it's a different experience.
I'll take your word for it because there's just something about like the physical part that breaks me out of being in this digital thing. You know, but I've gotten through the first couple chapters and I've enjoyed that book so far, so I'm not going to give a book review on it, but I'm enjoying all of the High Republic stuff because it's like this little area that can just grow as far as an expanded universe.
Oh, sure.
Whether or not they get to all of it, who knows. One thing about this episode I wanted to make sure we mentioned was the word War Mantle was mentioned, which also appeared in Rogue One. So when they are in, you know, when Jin's trying to find her stardust, you know, and Cassian's going through and they're reading off all of those different, like, Darksaber. Warmantle was one of the things that is mentioned, and it's also mentioned in this episode, or in this, this episode as well.
Yeah, so. I think that's just a nerd in the writer's room being like, what can I reference from something else?
Well, hey, can we call this? What can we...
They do that, though. I mean, that's... Go ahead, Jay.
No, I said what I love about Filoni is, unlike a Lindelof, we're just throwing it and be like, hey, I'm gonna put this fun thing in there. Like, Filoni, like, makes it part of, or like ties into the story in a really significant way.
Yeah, it always kind of loops back in a way that, like, you can pull on that thread if you want to, and then other writers will come along and they'll continue to, like, pocket or fill in that story thread. So, and to, you know, I know Filoni gets a lot of credit. There is the Holocron Keepers. There's like a story core at Lucasfilm that kind of manages a lot of this stuff. So,
what their life is like?
Stacks of books everywhere unread.
Honestly, like, Nick would be amazing at that job. Let's be honest. And I think, Nick, you'd really dig that gig.
Yeah, I would. You know, I would.
Yeah.
No, I just think it must be really hard to live a normal life if you're in charge of, like, what's real and what's not in Star Wars.
You're just a factual person, and you're like a very chronological type brain. You know?
Yeah, I think you would be normal, because to Nick's, like, again, you take a person like Nick that is very, like, you know, like a documentarian type brain. I think you just look at it as that, but I don't think you. I think you're able to live there, but also go do other things. I don't think it would be.
Can we look up these people? I want to see what they look like.
You're not Echo. You know, more machine now than man. You with a little thing on your hand.
To the question earlier, Star Wars Rebels started in 2014 and then went to 2018.
Yeah, because If I was trying to remember what year Comic-Con it was, so it had to be the summer of 2014 when we got the book.
I know.
Well, you threw me off because I had something to say about.
You had something to. What did you think of the episode? Did you like it? We still haven't gotten to your.
Oh
yeah.
It was fine. It was fine. I mean, I was kind of giving my opinion about how I kind of felt it was a little bit like the spiders episode of Mandalorian.
Oh right.
But yeah, I mean, I always like all the little things as well, and I kind of mentioned that about, you know, what Chris and Jay were talking about, how it, you know, it leads to the empire building of, like, how it's starting, how it's going. I always enjoy that. And then just going back to East, that's what I was going to talk about. You know, I said in the last episode, I don't know if you two noticed it, Chris and Jay, but, you know what, like, usually the Easter eggs are just throwaway with Filoni. Are things you either notice or you don't notice. And it's not a big deal either way. Cause, like, mentioned it to Matt, when the crew is approaching the city, you know, to get their chain codes, and you have Tech and Echo up in the ship, you see Wrecker in the behind all of them, and he hits his head right on the top of a beam. And it's a shout out to episode 4, the deleted scene when the stormtrooper hits his head and, like, falls back. And, like, you either notice it or you don't. It's like a blink of an eye. But it's just one of those things that, like, only somebody would do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Jon Favreau's like, huh? I have no idea what that is.
You're right. So I'll take your word for it.
Cool. Yeah. It's like, I don't know what any of that is.
there are people.
I love that as, like, the only go-to quote for what I think. Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know what that is, but great.
I love
that. For Favreau to oust Kathleen Kennedy. Have you heard those stories? There's like a whole thing.
A lot of, like, fan service. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't like to.
I mean, the CEO of Disney said, I think a month and a half ago, that she's here to stay. So she's not going anywhere.
Yeah, she was the casting director in one of my favorite movies of all time. So she gets
E.T.?
Goonies.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So she is a little special.
Wait, he picked E.T. though, so he likes. I love E.T. It's one of my favorites.
I thought he was going with E.T. Great movie.
But that would be Richard Donner if we're going directors for Goonies. Spielberg was a producer, or maybe a director.
Yeah, he's a producer.
So, any like other like theories going forward, or things that you might think that might. You know, I don't know these characters as moving, you know, like wild. You know, who do you think we're gonna meet next? Maybe
Rex is coming, right?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like he was in the trailer. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Matt and I have briefly discussed it. Let's see, hear your guys' opinions on it. I think Matt and I are both in the camp of we would rather Omega be a combination of the skills of the Bad Batch, her being the final clone. But then there's also the theory out there because of her hair being the same color and having the flip on the back that she is actually a clone of Palpatine. What do you think of that?
It's a theory I've seen. I think the Force sensitivity leans into that, as well as the fact that Rey is a descendant of a, you know, a botched clone of Palpatine. It makes sense that that is the case. Like, either part of his midichlorians or something is part of Omega.
Yeah. I think Omega is Palpatine's little.
She definitely has some. I mean, I wanted her to not be Force sensitive. I just kind of like, I do like stories that develop around non-Force people. That said, it's hard to watch Star Wars Resistance because there is no Force people. I don't know if you, Jay, have you watched Resistance at all? Have you dove down that?
One thing I know of that is Bobby Moynihan's in it. I'm a Bobby Moynihan fan, but
I love the moments that he's in it, and I'm forgetting his name, but he's from Scrubs.
Zach Donald Graff?
Oh, no, Donald
Faison. Faison, yeah.
Well, because he plays a character on there, and every time I hear his voice, you know, I'm just like, oh, that's Turk.
Turk Tickleson.
But the last name, I think, is also similar to his. It's like a play off of it, a Faison. So that's why I'm blanking on his. So they have some, like, the cast, the voice cast on that is just amazing. Like, you get cameos by Fred Armisen and stuff like that. But
that's because, I mean, anybody who's anyone wants to be a part of Star Wars. Doesn't matter what it is.
Oh, like, for sure.
Of course.
But, like, cause you never know. You might end up being Katie Sackhoff and you get a role on a live TV show and now.
Exactly.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully we see a lot more of her in the next season.
Oh, we will. 100% we will.
Yeah. Although there's been rumors about a time jump. You think we'll ever see a time jump within The Mandalorian?
Maybe not season 3, but eventually, for sure. Otherwise, how are we going to get back to Grogu, you know?
True.
Still be the same. Like 10 years time jump. He's still like a little like...
like a year older.
Well, I mean, even if they let him with Luke for at least a while so that he learns a little bit of, you know, like getting a little bit of that Force knowledge. So
what are the chances we see Grogu chilling with a porg?
what if Grogu gets into, like,
stupid if they didn't do that? That's literally a license to print money.
Grogu
or not is as marketable as Baby Yoda.
Yeah, Baby Yoda's pretty up there, I think. So Baby Yoda basically just dumped all over Babu Frick. So
I don't listen. Don't listen. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
it's funny because all four of us have Baby Yodas. And two of us are showing them. My daughter has mine. So all the Baby Yodas to go around. Have you walked down the toy aisles and now there's like 20 different types of Baby Grogu?
Oh, yeah.
You get the Baby Grogu that the ears feel real. That's the one you have.
They've got one now. It's got GPS in it. So you can like put it on your belt and it'll follow you around the room.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
This is still my favorite. Because now they have one that eats and stuff, but I think this one's still the cutest. My son, youngest, loves this one.
That's cool. Does that have the soft, sensitive ears, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got cute.
Because I like that kind of, you know. Anyway.
Oh, I like sheep ears.
Don't even.
Did I just cross shows with your
sheep? Yeah, you did. You crossed shows. So that's a good segue. If you enjoy what we do here, check us out on the RCAD, Ramblecast After Dark.
Where we also talk about Star Wars, but it just pisses Jack off at that point. So why do you say Jack off?
It does. We talk about
it.
He
doesn't understand. Yeah, it's just like, what is this? What if I'm listening to?
We openly cuss more.
If you want to hear us talk about Star Wars and really anger a middle aged man,
this he ain't middle aged anymore.
That's why you throw him a bone. Aged. You know, you get
I think I'm a middle aged man at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty much us now.
You can say he's late in life.
That's why you throw him a bone, though. You know, you get like 10 minutes of Lego talk followed by 20 minutes of Star Wars talk, and then you go, how about those Padres? And then he just like,
Oh my God.
Hey, man, he's becoming a YouTube star, you know?
He is.
He had a viral video. I'm so proud of him. He finally got a viral video.
He did it. You know, if you fish long enough, you can catch something.
But if you really want to like F with him, call him John Boy.
I already did.
You did? Okay.
I'll remember that.
Well, I told him, I was just like, okay, you can do this. This is easy. You just voice over a clip. You can do that. That's just you sharing your opinion. You love sharing your opinion.
Hey, you know, for what it's worth, he did a nice job.
He did. Everyone was giving him crap for being a discount John Boy or whatever. I was like, just own it. Just own that you're dollar store John Boy. I was like, no, just own it.
You can even switch your name to Dollar Store John Boy.
Yeah.
You probably get tons of views.
I agree. I said just own that thing instead of, like, I don't know. I think it'd be a lot more fun if he did it.
He likes to go against the grain sometimes when if he just leaned into it, you know.
Imagine if it gets the attention of the actual John Boy.
And I know.
The actual John Boy mentions one Dollar Store John Boy. And all of a sudden, your dad is raking in.
That's what I told him. I was like, just own it. It'd be so much cooler.
We'll try to convince him to design all the terrible t-shirt designs
that he's made in the past. And he might actually be able to sell some of that crap.
He'll sell his first shirt. Finally.
He's like his Microsoft Paint cut and paste.
I think he's always frustrated because he'd like to take my artistic ability with his like crazy idea and put them together, and it never happens.
Well, what's funny is he definitely tries to pull you in to help do some of his work.
Yeah, he does.
It's pull you in, and eventually you're just doing all of the work. Yeah. So just don't ever fall.
But
you know already.
I don't run the show. I don't do that.
But you push start.
So anyway, that was a little taste of the RC80.
That was a clean version.
We get a little naughty on the other side.
We do. If you enjoy what we do here, go over to jandjack.com. Check out the patron link there. We also have a merchandise link. Send us an email at theforceiswelldone@gmail.com.
Ask Matt about his goats or his sheep, rather.
Sheep. You know, it was in my past when I was a kid.
So you're admitting to it now.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
All right, so we're going to thank some patrons.
It was just a joke all before now, like a running joke, but now it sounds like you're like you're owning it.
No, I'm not. You guys, it's like me wearing blue jeans when I sled. I was not wearing blue jeans when I sled.
Okay, so this is a great example for those listening, how Matt just opens these doors. It's like we're on The Price is Right, and we have to choose which path we're going to go down in busting Matt's chops.
$1, Bob.
And like all three doors are awesome. So it doesn't matter which one we do. But Matt usually goes over to the door and opens it for us and leads us down the path of his ridicule.
Yeah, if a Plinko chip was gonna go one way, that was great. Yeah, it always goes the other way.
So for context, everybody out there, Matt had an unfortunate accident back in the winter and broke his collarbone while sledding.
And looking at goats.
Yeah, and looking at goats. And sheep, yeah. He was distracted.
No, this is true.
The photo he shows us while he's in the ER, you know, getting looked at by the doctors, is he's wearing jeans in the bed.
Because my wife had pulled off my overalls.
But you're still wearing jeans while you're sledding.
Like, you guys remember what's
wrong with wearing jeans while you're sledding?
I had jeans on.
This is like, you live in North Carolina.
Thank you, Jay.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
But what's wrong with me? Like, I always wear jeans when I'm sledding.
He's admitting to wearing jeans. I had jeans on underneath.
The greasers went sledding is essentially what.
Oh my! What's wrong with wearing jeans when you sled? I sled with jeans on.
Seven things are wrong with wearing jeans when you go sledding.
Oh my gosh. Like, one, I can't escape it. I thought I could accidents. Escape it on this podcast, but you know, and I've shared proof
with Jay here, so he might be able to back you up.
I've shared photos of what I was wearing. Wife pulled off the overalls. You can see here I'm wearing these black overalls.
Photoshop. This is not real.
Nope.
No, hold on. First of all, why is it a big deal? I wear jeans all the time when I sled. I don't think I've ever.
It's not cold worn jeans. Out there. I'm wearing jeans on underneath the snow gear.
Jay, it's cotton. You don't wear cotton because if it gets wet, it's going to stick and it's going
to. You're more likely to get hypothermia. Yeah. So if you ever get jeans wet.
Okay, I live in North Carolina, so it doesn't get that cold. So it snows.
San Diego and North Carolina. You don't know jack squat about what you should wear while sledding.
No,
this whole podcast.
That's the beauty of North Carolina is it snows and it's like 35, 40. So you go sledding and you don't need to wear super warm clothes.
Yeah. Or a mask. So, you know, whatever.
Okay. I was just trying to steer this podcast over. You guys, I tell you.
Democratic governor. We had some of the lowest COVID. We had lower COVID rates in Massachusetts, you piece of crap.
It's because they're more densely living together.
No, they're just dirty people.
Wow. There goes all of Owen and Baru's Massachusetts listeners. So great.
So if you like this ridiculous banter, come join us for an extended cut of this at the Ramblecast After Dark.
All right. And at this point, usually I say the names at the end, but because Chris is here, I'm going to let him say
patron names. As you said,
they're Star Wars Bad Batch episode related here. Right, let's go. What we got here.
Governor Tak-In.
Tak-In.
It's almost Bostonian. I like it. Governor Tak-In. Admiral Rampart Richter.
Give him.
Ed the Ordo Moon Dragon. That was terrible.
You know, like Puff the Magic Dragon and the Ordo.
And as you guys have probably learned from listening to Oda Baruz, his track record with names on the Arcad, RCAD, is even worse than this. So
I liked that one. That was my favorite.
War Mental Maggie.
Yeah, because she's a special operation.
I like it.
Yeah.
Django Joanne's
I go for the J's, you know, and there's not a lot of J names, Joanne. I'm sorry, but it was there.
Good Greg. That's your best one. That was your best one.
Thank you.
That was far and away the best one.
This was a great show. It was one in a million. Jay, thanks you for joining us. Chris, thanks for coming by as well.
I really want to thank you for anything right now.
He's that father that's like the weekends, you know, weekends and one weeknight. You know,
he's the uncle that brings up the sledding and snow jeans or whatever, and you're just like come on.
He's like he is the drunk. I was like, hey, I came up with your name. My idea.
That is perfect. Thank you. Let's end it there.
I haven't seen you in forever, so I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, no, I was excited that you wanted to jump on and
I thought you'd pick a better episode.
I'm digging the episodes. I know.
Wait, before we get to the Star Wars stuff, I'll have to do the official like beginning.
I like this. Okay, I'll hold.
Let me do the official beginning. I started recording, which just means that Colleen's gonna have to like cut off that first part.
She loves that, by the way. Colleen, as you're editing this right now, I know how much you love trying to find where the start is.
Hey, I write them.
You do not curse these gentlemen's names as you do it.
Are you saying that she hates to do that?
No, she loves it.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been pretty good for the last while of like putting the actual like ad time at the exact second.
All right. Well, then
she doesn't say, you guys don't pay me enough to do this.
All right. Then I'm starting right. 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.